Good morning. Welcome as we come to worship today. Worship the God who is alive and well, the God who meets with us, who desires to meet with us, and who desires that we come with open hearts to meet with him. A little verse from Psalm 37 this morning says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desire of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will do this. He'll make your righteousness shine like the dawn, and the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. So be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him." Let's pray as we begin. Father, as we still ourselves before you today, Lord, we thank you for the energy and the noise and the clamor and clatter that is all around us. But at the same time, we still our hearts before you, in the knowledge that as we do so, we are opening ourselves to what you would do with us, for us, with us, and through us in this space and place today. So by the power of your Spirit and the truth of your word, will you transform our lives for you. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to invite Johnny to come forward and read God's word.
This morning's reading is James chapter 5, verses 13 to 18. "Is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you. So this series that we're looking at, Oh When the Saints, hopefully all about prayer, will hopefully help us understand prayer that little bit more. Not only understand it, but give us nuts and bolts about how and what to do. Making a connection was our first week, and that's key. That connection with God is actually key in how we pray, when we pray, and the effectiveness, in a sense, of our prayers. We were encouraged that week to stop being busy, being under Satan's yoke, to actually take time and consider how we use our time for God. Last week, as we thought about that idea of starting a conversation, we saw there was no right or wrong language. There was no set formula or structure. But yes, there was a way in which we could around the work, the acts, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. We heard that as a community of faith, if we want or desire to grow in our relationship with God, then we need to develop our prayer life. It's a really, really important element, not just for us as individuals, but for us collectively as a church, as a body of believers. So today we look at when the saints pray for one another. When the saints pray for one another. Now, we've had that conversation about saints being believers, people who know Jesus. That's how the scriptures describe us. And I know sometimes we can jar a little bit with us because we think saint is a perfect person. But yet the scriptures describe a saint as one who is a believer, a follower of Jesus. So when the saints pray for one another, I suppose the first question I want to ask is, have you ever heard that phrase said to you? I will pray for you. Yeah, okay. Whoa, thankfully. So it's something we've all heard said to us, I'll be praying for you. Often it can be said after everything else, can't it? In one sense, it's often said after we believe we've tried to do everything that we possibly can, and then we say, well, the least I can do is pray for you. It's not the least that we can do. It's the most essential thing that we can do, is to pray for one another. It's not the last resort. It's not the thing that we fall back on. It should be our first point of contact. It should be our first point of instance of what it is that we are going to do. So whenever you've heard that said to you, I will pray for you, Sometimes maybe you've thought, the person doesn't seem very sincere about that. Sometimes it almost feels as if it's the moment in a conversation which is said to enable the conversation to finish. I'll pray for you. And kind of the person almost hurries off after they've said it. I wonder, what do you imagine them doing for you? Whenever somebody says, I'll be praying for you, what's the image you have in your head? What do you think they're going to do? Do you imagine that is them now heading home and spending the rest of the day in quietness and solitude, simply just praying for you? Do you imagine that it's something that will come into their head as they go about your daily business and they will throw up those RO prayers and ask for you and pray to God on your behalf? Maybe you remember that you've said it to someone else at some stage. Maybe you're the one who said, I'll be praying for you. What does that mean to you? Does that then mean that you do that? Or does that mean that in that moment you 100% say and believe that you will do it, but the busyness of life gets so much around us that it's not until we see the person the next time we go, Because praying for each other is really, really important. It's more than a simple throwaway comment at the end of a conversation. Our conversations should be filled with it. As a body of believers, it's something that we should be saying to one another on a regular basis. I'd be praying for you this week. And maybe the person hasn't even asked us to pray for them. Maybe we'll just be praying for them. And I don't know about you, but the knowledge that someone is praying for me brings me a great strength and comfort and reassurance. Because there are many days whenever I feel I can't do what I'm supposed to be doing. But knowing that other people are praying for me and for God's strength for me enables me to take that other step. And it should develop. Just like we used to have this landline that was tied to the wall all the time, and there was moments where it rang and we went and answered and we didn't know who was there and all of those things, to the moments where we have our phones in the world in our pocket now and we carry it around all over the place with us. How we pray for one another should grow and develop as we grow and develop in our relationship with God. This passage that Johnny read for us today, verse 13 says, if any one of you is in trouble, he should pray. Right. The Greek is not gender specific there. It's not just that the men should be praying. It's that we should be praying. Is anyone happy, let them sing songs of praise? If anyone is sick, he should call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. It starts with us. It starts with a connection and a conversation that we talked about over the last couple of weeks. First of all, that connection with God, and then the continuing conversation that we have with him. And so the praying for one another then becomes, or should become, quite natural. If we have a connection and a conversation, praying for one another is a part of that conversation. Is anyone of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. With all the grace that I can muster as I say this, and I pray that you give me that grace as I say it. But sometimes it's way too late down the line before I know that someone is unwell. Maybe somebody's been in hospital and then they're actually out home. Maybe someone has been waiting for tests or for a diagnosis. And it's only way down the line that they say, by the way. Scripture commands us that we pray for one another. Scripture commands us, in my position, that I pray for you and over you. Part of our first desire as believers of Jesus is seeking him. But the church and the elders of the church would pray for you. As it says here, even anoint you with oil. And maybe that's not something that has happened to you or been a part of your life before, but that is a profound moment whenever that happens. And I've done it many hundreds of times in my ministry, for and with people. I would rather hear 16 million times that you're not well than never hear at all. So if you, or you know somebody who's been in hospital, for instance, don't think, oh, James probably already knows about that. Let me know. It's important as a body of believers to pray for one another and to seek the church to pray for you. It's not that my prayers are more important in that situation, nor in many ways are they more effective than the prayers of other people. But in one sense, it's the process of vulnerability. It's asking for help and seeking the church family to give it to you and for you. Verse 16 says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The power of a righteous person is powerful and effective. We do that every week as we gather. We confess our sins together. Sometimes is that something that we do? Something that has to be included in the service because of the denomination that we're a part of. But it's more than that. It's more than simply coming before God as an individual. It's the collective body of people saying, God, we haven't got quite this right. And we need you together. And that is really, really important. As they say, confession's good for the soul, isn't it? And those last couple of verses about Elijah that Johnny read to us, Elijah was a man just like us. That's really important, isn't it? He was a man just like us because we imagine that these saints of old, these prophets of old, were absolutely amazing and perfect. He was a man just like us. And he prayed earnestly, seeking God to intervene in a particular situation. Read about it in Elijah's story in the scriptures. And the rain stopped. And then the rain came. And it showed the rest of the world that Elijah worshipped the one true God. Because it wasn't about Elijah, it was about everything pointing to him. So how do we actually pray for one another? What's some of those nuts and bolts? Well, first of all, we have to open up. We have to be willing to say, will you pray for me? And secondly, we need to sincerely do as requested. If somebody says, will you pray for me? Then we actually need to do it. And in one sense then, not every time you see the individual, because sometimes then that becomes like a real kind of, they're going to talk about this thing that I've asked them to pray for all the time, every time I see them. But every so often it's good in a conversation privately to ask the person how they're getting on. Is there something more I can be praying for you? Is some details changed that I can be praying more specifically about? And then we go and do what we said we were going to do. And we actually take time to pray. And we let the other person know that we're doing it. Maybe we send them a wee message and say, I was praying for you today. There's nothing to say anything else. And boy, will that brighten up somebody's day. To know that somebody else was thinking about them and talking to God about them today. Maybe that's a challenge for us this week. To pray for each other and let each other know we're doing it. And here's the important bit in all of this. None of what we've just said is about gossip. Sometimes prayer circles and churches can be clear channels of that. And that's not what it's about. It's not about, oh, did you hear so-and-so, or did you hear such-and-such? Whenever we pray for each other, we do it in confidence, so that the other person knows we are not gossiping or spreading stuff about them. Now, if the other individual has said, would you let other people know? That's perfectly okay. You've got permission to do it then. But it's not so we can glean lots of information, so we can pass all the other information on. Praying for another lightens the burden. It releases the pressure and enables strength to be added to the daily routine where there wasn't any before. So when the saints pray for one another, things begin to change. Because we become vulnerable with each other. We share life with each other. We support each other, and we carry each other's burdens. It's good to pray for one another. So let's pray in this moment. We thank you that you are good, that you are great, and thank you for the opportunity to follow you. In this moment, we want to pray for those around us. And so maybe not knowing or understanding or having an intimate knowledge of the person's situation beside us, we want to pray for your presence, Lord, and simply using those words, for the Lord's presence to be with that individual, for the person on our left, for the person on our right. For the person in front. And for the person behind. That we could carry one another's burdens. So as we think about ourselves, we also think about our community. Think about the place and the space that you have sown us and planted us into. Thank you for the lives of our neighbours, our work colleagues, our school friends. We take a moment to pray for them. But knowing that we have a connection to you, a conversation with you, and that we are praying for each other, we pray as you taught us to, our Father. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Let's pray together as we finish. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. So may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, rest upon each one of us this day and forevermore. Amen. Amen.